Hello, welcome back to our Hammer Time show for the 2015-16 season, where we talk all things West Ham United and look ahead to the big game on Saturday when we face Liverpool at Anfield. I'd like to say that we've been joined by two men who know everything about the two clubs, having played for both the Hammers and the Reds during their illustrious careers. My first guest made his debut for Liverpool back in March 1992, made 60 appearances for Liverpool during a memorable four-year spell. He then had two spells with the Hammers, where he made 74 appearances and had a great time under Harry Redknapp. Don Hutchison, welcome to Hammer Time.
Thank you.
My second guest is quite simply a West Ham United legend and a current member of the backroom staff here at the Bowling Ground. He made 326 appearances for the club and became a fan's favourite during his two spells here in East London. Julian Dix, welcome to Hammer Time.
Thank you.
Obviously, don't want to look back on the weekend's game, but must start with the game against Bournemouth. From a coaching perspective, how do we put things right, Julian, after the weekend?
Listen, you're going to one of the best places, which is Anfield. You have to, if you don't put a shift in, then you're going to struggle for 90 minutes. So you have to match them for work rate. You have to press them and close them down, because if you don't do that, they just play around you. So, I mean, it's a big test for the lads.
Obviously, Aaron Creswell, he was brave enough to come out so soon after the game and apologise. As a fellow left-back, how much praise did you have for him that, considering the mistakes he made, he came out so soon?
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't apologise. In the beginning, mistakes happen. That's the way it is. It's no good just apologising. You have to put it right, which would be the next game. So, listen, again, we all make mistakes. We all have bad games. That's a part and parcel of football. But is that how he reacts in the next game?
Don, from the outside, did it surprise you, the manner of West Ham's defeat?
It did. I think it was surprising how cheap the goals were. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes in a West Ham shirt, plenty. It's how you deal with it, and Julian's absolutely spot on. It's the next game, it's how you react. You can react in two ways. You can come out and prove a point, or you can wilt a little bit and go under. I don't think Aaron's that sort of character. Looking from the outside, Julian obviously knows him better than I do. But when I'm watching and I see a lot of Premier League football, I work for Premier League TV and I see all the minutes of every single game, it's just the manner of the goals that are going in that are surprising me. We had a little chat outside, and I think any given side can beat anyone in this league. You know, as West Ham proved on the opening day of the season, beating Arsenal, any team can beat anyone because the quality is so good. And you've got to be on your game, you've got to be on your mettle. You can't make mistakes, because if you find yourself two goals down, like they have done, like West Ham have done the last couple of games, it's hard to come back from.
Julian, considering that amazing first game at Arsenal, I don't think many people would have seen what was going to happen next against Leicester and Bournemouth.
To be honest, you look at the Arsenal game, first half, we didn't play particularly well. But a lot of things have got forgotten because we won 2-0 at the Emirates. But again, when you beat Arsenal at the Emirates, next game Leicester, people think, oh, you're gonna roll all over them like 3 or 4-0. But football, like Hutch said, football's not like that. Every game is different. And again, at Leicester, right, we started off brightly for 10-15 minutes. Then we just hit a plateau and let Leicester back in the game. And as you said, it's when you're 2-0 down, it's difficult against any team to come back. I mean, obviously Saturday we did, but we ended up losing 4-3.
And so it must have been said inside that dressing room, but to come back so quickly and get to 2-2, you must have only thought then there was only going to be one winner.
Well, it's the same when I played. The manager would turn around and go, listen, the game's dead and buried, but you have to show a bit of pride. Because, listen, the supporters paid good money to go and watch the team play. And you don't just roll over and die. So they showed a bit of character. But again, when you're 2-0 down, it's difficult to get back into the game. And we, like I said, we started off brightly. Then you have a couple of water breaks, which I find ridiculous.
Didn't happen in the North East, by the way. No. Sunderland didn't have one at the weekend. Only in London.
Not in your day, though.
Not in my day, no.
But it is, like I said, it's about the next game. We've had two poor results from West Ham's point of view, and really they're in a bigger stage than Anfield.
Don, from an attacking perspective, I suppose from the positive, West Ham still scored 3 goals again on Saturday. So
absolutely. I'm sure that's what probably Julian and Slaven's taken out of it, that West Ham can score goals against anyone. Without going back and being negative, conceding goals is obviously a worry. But as long as you've got the tools and the armoury to go up the other side, it's not like you're losing 1-0 and you haven't scored a goal all season. Then you'd start to panic, thinking, where's the goals, where's the assists starting to come from? So when I look around the side and look around the squad, there's some good players that are going to score plenty of goals here.
Does it worry you from an attacking side, though? We're not getting much luck, are we, with injuries to the attacking side of our team?
No. You can you, as I said, you can think negatively and think, well, you know, it's bad luck and it's a nightmare time for us, this, that and the other. Or the fringe players starting to come in, start proving the point. You know, we've me and Julian have both been there, especially at a club like Liverpool, when you're not guaranteed starters. I've been there with a couple of times at West Ham when you're not guaranteed a starter. When you're coming back from injuries, for instance, come back in, prove a point, get yourself in the team and then stay in that team. That's what it should be all about. It's a little bit old school, really. Get the shirt and keep it. That's how it should be.
I suppose, Julian, from the coaches, you're just scared to put the strikers out on the pitch at the moment.
See, but the thing is, that's football. You're going to get injuries. Like I said, it's about the players coming in to do a job and keep that shirt. And when the regular first team players come back, just make sure you're doing the business. So you have to, the gaffer has a tough choice to put them back in. But listen, that's football. We haven't got the biggest squad in the world, but just have to do what you have to do.
And I'm assuming in training this week, it's cutting out those defensive errors, but obviously working with the strikers to make sure we stay among the goals come the weekend.
Well, it is. Listen, you can't win games unless you score. So, again, like Hutch said, we are scoring goals, which is a positive. On the negative, obviously, you're letting too many in, but you can't compensate for the mistakes that was made. Listen, we all make mistakes, we keep saying that. But, again, we have to cut them out. So, but for me, it's about working for your teammates. We don't seem to be working for our teammates. Again, when people are getting attacked, like Aaron and Jenks, is one-on-one. It should be two-on-one every time. Every time. I mean, when you look at Leicester and Bournemouth, that's what they've done. We don't do that at the moment.
I'll ask you this question, Dongs. Obviously, Julian's very, very close with Slaven, but does it take time for new players when a new manager comes in to adjust to the transition, I suppose, what the new manager wants?
I think you're 100% right. I think when you look back, and I actually thought Sam done a good job here for the period of time he was here. I think great appointments bringing Julian and Slaven in for obvious reasons, connections with the club. The fans will obviously trust these two guys. But as you said, it's a transitional period now. The fact that the players inside that dressing room and the squad and the fans have accepted a certain style of football, Slaven and Julian will change that. But it will take a little bit of time. As a player, we've both had it where you've had different voices and all of a sudden someone gets sacked and a new guy comes in. I think in my experience when Glenn was the manager, wanted to play football 100%. It was all about playing silky football. Then obviously Glenn struggled and Trevor Brooking come in, changed the dynamics of the side. I wouldn't say we went route one, but we went forward a little bit quicker. And a great end to the season, we got lots of results. So I'm sure once the players adapt to what Julian and Slaven's trying to tell them and the other coaches, once they get on board with that and once they put that in training, I'm sure the positive results are only around the corner. Mm.
Does it take time, Julian, to get across the messages that you and Slaven want?
Well, it takes a bit of time, but listen, they're professional footballers. You know what I mean? They get paid good money. They have to go out and do a job. It shouldn't be, when I played, my manager said, right, I want you to do this, you've done it. And yeah, obviously you've got the new players coming in, it takes a bit of time to adapt with the players that they're playing with. But listen, they're professional footballers. How long do you keep going on going, well, yeah, they have time to adapt, they have to have time to settle in. Listen, they should hit the ground running, in my opinion.
Mm. One of the new players, Don, Dimitri Payet, a lot's been said about him. The owners think he could be world-class. From what you've seen so far, do you think he could be that for West Ham?
I think he could be. He looks a terrific talent. Certainly got power and strength as well. Very fit boy as well. An athlete, as you need to be now in the modern game. So as long as West Ham and the players in and around him, as Julian said, if you think the likes of Mark Noble and guys in that midfield, can you get them the ball as quick as you can? Do you have to be patient and be patient in your build-up? Or do you get these flair players the ball as quick as you can? In my opinion, that's the way to go. Let them go and attack. As long as you're working as a team going back the way and you're defending, everything should be fine.
You created more assists than Lionel Messi last year.
So I read that, actually,
if
yeah.
West Ham can get in a couple more offensive players.
Just need 60 goals like Messi a season, doesn't he? I see that all the time, which is obviously a positive. When you look at players' stats, I think any stat, more or less, can be manipulated how you want it to be. But once you start looking at stats a little bit deeper and things like shots on target and entries into the final third and assists and goals, they speak for themselves, they speak volumes.
And you see him every day in training, Julian. What's he like on the training pitch?
He is quality. But against Leicester, he was, because he wants to be on the ball all the time, he was coming back too far. And we're giving him the ball, now he's got another 20, 30, 40 yards to get in front of the goal. We just need him higher up the pitch. But as you said, it's about getting him that ball as quick as we can. You need your best players on the ball, and he's certainly one of them.
Well, we go to Liverpool on Saturday. Not had the best of records over the year. I know you had a lot of games there, Julian, back in the day. 1963 was the last win West Ham had there. The Beatles were number one. How do we change that? How do we get that win on Saturday?
It's like the Gaff says, you have to press and squeeze them. And every time they get the ball, we need one or two of our players around and putting them under pressure. And it's like Hutch said, any team can beat any team on the day. You need a little bit of luck, but you also need to work hard, especially at Anfield. Obviously, I played there many times. I remember going up there and we had to win to stay up. And Leroy put us 1-0 up and we got battered 5-1. But listen, you know, it doesn't matter what team they put out, you know you're going to be in for a tough game at Anfield.
Don, you obviously, like Julian, played for both clubs. Is it just the atmosphere when you'll never walk alone when you come out? What is it? What does it get to the players?
I don't think it does. I think for me, it should inspire you. I think when you walk out there, I'm speaking personally, but I was quite fortunate that my character, I always played well in the bigger games. The adrenaline factor in the lesser games, I couldn't really get up for the sort of cup matches, if you like. But going to places like Goodison and Anfield and, you know, Old Trafford, places like that, it should make you want to be a star on the day. And if West Ham have got a few of them, because I think you can get at Liverpool. I think, like Julian said, there's a lot of teams in the Premier League that are very offensive. Defensively, Liverpool are not brilliant. I think the fullbacks that they've signed are absolutely top draw. I love Joe Gomez at left back. I think he's an absolute superstar, but he's only played 3 games. Nathaniel Klein's a good sign, and the centre halves are very, very good and dominant. But I think if you're going to get at one person, Lovren might be the weak link in that back four. But it's about getting the ball and what do you do with it. If you're Slaven and Julian, do you go there being aggressive and going on the front foot and going in to try and win the game? Or do you compact the midfield and say, we might have to take a point? A point today might be a good result. I'm not sure what frame of mind the coaches and the management staff are in on that front.
What frame of mind are you in, Julian?
Listen, I think you go to every game to win. Of course you do.
Do you go and try and hit them on the break, or do you just go, no, we're going to go for this?
Well, I think you have to, listen, you go into Anfield, you can't just have everything open, because, like I said, they're going to pass the ball around you. So, again, like Hutch said, you have to be compact. And, yeah, maybe on the counter-attack, you might only get one chance at Anfield. And you have to obviously take that chance. But again, it's about keeping the ball out. Listen, the point at Anfield is a good point. So, I mean, I'm not saying we're just going to go there and try and sit back and soak it all up. You have to go out and you have to attack them.
Clean sheet's obviously the priority, isn't it? You get a clean sheet there, you've done your job. If you can go there and score a goal, you win the game. If you don't, you get a 0-0, you come away and you think, job done. Mm.
They've lost Suarez, but they brought in Benteke. Are you a big fan?
I am. I think he'll enhance any squad. The way he played against Arsenal, he was absolutely on fire. I've watched Benteke over the years in a Villa shirt, and it's on his day, he's another one that's unplayable. If you can keep the ball and get someone like a Mark Noble, I keep mentioning him because his experience, he's been there, been at West Ham a long time, and try and screen the two centre-halves and stop ball getting it to his feet, that'll be one way. But also as well, with Liverpool, if they start to put crosses in as they've gone a little bit like that lately, he'll be a threat in the air. So then it's all about the knockdowns and the second balls.
How much admiration you got for him, Julian? He's like Slaven. If the youngsters are worthy of their chance, Brendan gives them a go, doesn't he?
Yeah, listen, you have to, if they're doing their jobs in the under-21s, then you give them a chance. And then it's like Hutch said, then it's down to them. So again, you get your chance, you have to take it. Listen, not everybody does that. Some of them, obviously, on the big occasions, wilt a little bit. But yeah, it's a... For a coaching point of view, it's nice to see that obviously the kids come through the ranks and play.
So are Coutinho and Benteke, are they the two main danger men that you look out for?
Yeah, so I mean, Coutinho, I think he's a fantastic player. He can thread balls through and things like that. But like I said, with Benteke, he's big, he's strong, he's powerful, he's aggressive. I mean, that's for me, that's what you want in a centre forward. But hopefully, he'll have an off day.
Don, no one expects us to go to Arsenal on the opening day and get a result. No one's expecting us to go to Anfield, so why can't we do the same again?
Well, exactly. I was on my last day of holidays and I saw Slaven's team sheet and I saw him go with Reece Oxford at 16 in the middle of the park away at Arsenal, and I thought, oh, this could be a tough afternoon, tough opening day of the season for West Ham. And I seen the result when I got off the plane and I was over the moon, obviously, and I was just thinking, that's an unbelievable job, unbelievable performance to go there and get 3 points. Massive. So as you said, I think when I look at West Ham and try and analyse West Ham this season, I think there's going to be days where we're going to lose games. We saw that over the last couple of games, but I think there's going to be lots of positives as well. I think West Ham, against the bigger sides, I think this season, will turn a lot of teams over and get a lot of points.
So do you draw from that, Julian? Do you think the players will from what happened at the Emirates on Saturday?
Well, they should do, because there's not many teams go to the Emirates and turn Arsenal over at 2-0. Whether people say they start slow at the start of the season or not, it doesn't matter. You're going to the Emirates, you're playing against a good side with good players. And as I said, the first half, we didn't play particularly well. Yeah, we had one or two chances, and lucky enough we scored with like 2 minutes of the first half left, which is always good to go in. In Slaven, we regrouped them. And again, defensively, second half, the Emirates, I thought we'd done really, really well. We got a load of people behind the ball, which you have to do. But like Mourinho said, you're putting the bus there. And that's what we've done. Listen, football's about winning games. Doesn't matter how you win them, as long as you win them.
Was there, back in your time, Don, a ground where you went to, as a team, you hadn't won for so long. How do you change that mentality?
It's difficult. I've had loads of them over my career. Good and bad. Sometimes you play against a side and you think, going to win this today. It's just the mental attitude you had on the day. If your players and you're aware of those facts, I wouldn't have thought it hinders you, but obviously it's on your mind going into the game thinking you want to change it for the right reasons. I think the modern day player won't really care about what's happened in the past. The guys that are through the front door at the minute, they won't have a clue what happened in the 90s when we were at West Ham. It's all about the now. Whatever mental attitude they're in, hopefully it's a positive one, West Ham should go there, as Julian said, not be ridiculously open, but be really positive and thinking we can get a result here.
Going into the international break, Julian, what would it do for the club if we could get a result up at Anfield?
Well, listen, it would give you confidence, obviously. Then you go into a break. Then they have a rest. Then again, you play Newcastle. So again, another tough game. But again, as I said, at Anfield, listen, you come away with a 0-0 draw or a 1-1, then you say your job's done. Because it is a tough place to go. Like you said, last time they won was 63. So, I mean, it's been that long for a reason, because Liverpool are a fantastic club with great players. But again, it's about us going to do our job. If we do our job, we have a chance.
And can we do it, Dom?
Absolutely. I wouldn't write West Ham off on any given occasion. I think with a team that Slaven's got, there's no reason why West Ham can't go out and get a win, without a doubt.
So obviously emotional time for both of you with so many links between the two clubs, and a great stat that you created the last ever goal that Julian converted in front of the standing cop. Do you remember that day?
I actually don't know. I don't even remember his pen. Must have been a fluke. He probably smashed it down the middle, knowing him. No, I can't actually remember that. It's a lifetime ago.
Really is.
Do you remember, Julian?
I remember the penalty, of course. And obviously you knew that day that the cup was going to be shut and pulled down. But I can remember the penalty. I can't remember him getting in the box, to be honest. But I think the penalty was to the keeper's left, bottom corner.
Must have pulled it then, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. But again, you don't think of things like that. Obviously, people keep reminding me now, which for me is a great honour. Listen, I only played 28 games there, but I will go in their record books, which upset a few of them, but there you go.
What's it like? I mean, the West Ham players are going to experience it on Saturday. Just put your Liverpool hats on for a minute. When you go out there and you hear that Never Walk Alone song played, what does it do for you as a player before the game?
I honestly, and I'm a Newcastle fan, lad from the North East, it's the best feeling ever. You know, I'm lucky enough, as I said, to cover a lot of games for Premier League TV. And I think it's the only sort of anthem that we actually stopped talking for in the build-up of the game, and we just let it play. Because the hairs do go on the back of your neck. It absolutely is. It is the mecca of football when you think of some of the amazing grounds. A lot of the grounds now are new, and you think of Liverpool and Manchester United and big teams like that have still kept their sort of core fans from that area. But when you hear that anthem, and when you see the scarves, and when you see the colours, especially at Anfield and the Kop End, it is one of the best feelings ever. And West Ham fans and the players should take a lot from it when they go there the weekend and enjoy it.
Don't come away with the right result, but try and enjoy yourself.
Fair enough, June. We spoke to James Tompkins yesterday, and he used that phrase exactly, that the hairs will stand up, but he might use it to his advantage because it will just put him in such the frame of mind to try and perform to his highest level.
You have to, and just like touching on it, is when the music stops and the fans keep singing. I mean, that's when you think, "Whoa, hang on a minute." But I mean, it is a fantastic anthem. But yeah, listen, you have to use it as a positive to silence them. That's what it's about. If you go there and you're one up, it will silence a crowd. But it is a fantastic place, especially when you're playing for them. And then that national anthem comes on.
Mm. Let's talk Liverpool first then. So what do we remember of each other in training? Hard to play against, or?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was you know, Graeme Souness was the manager at the time, and that's what he demanded in training, which suited me and him down the ground. It was all action, and you know, you didn't take any liberties in training. You wanted to show the manager why you should be in a starting 11. And that A was by application, by putting it in, by getting a sweat on, by training well, by playing well, doing your little bits of skill if you can. But it was all about sort of 6v6s, 7v7s, and Graham used to join in. I remember nutmegging Graham once in training.
And that went down well.
It actually did about a minute later when he two-footed me. And he was down on top of me and he pinned me to the throat. And the two of us having a wrestle on the training ground. Thankfully, there was no cameras there. He played me on the Saturday because he liked what he saw. He knew I had a bit about me. He knew that I wasn't just coming in for, you know, just a bit of a day's training and a few keepy-ups. I was there to win, and me and Julian were exactly the same character. And that's what Graham liked in us.
Julian, fair to say you liked the challenge back in the day. Did you have one with Graham at all?
No, I mean, I remember my first few days there in Liverpool. They didn't like you to tackle in five-a-sides and stuff like that.
Graham did, but I think Ronnie Moran and the old school brigade did.
Because it's what they were used to. Yeah. And then, like, the first few days I went in, I boot Rushy, I boot John Barnes, and Ronnie Moran and Roy Evans at the time said, oh, you can't tackle in training, and you go, do one. But again, you have a manager like Graham Souness, as you said, Hutch nutmegged him and he wants to beat him up. Yeah. But that's what he demanded, and that's what I was like, and that's what Hutch was like. In training, you play as you train, you train as you play. That's the way it was. Whether you're at Liverpool, whether you're at West Ham, that's the way it was.
You've got to have that competitive edge, haven't you?
You have to.
If you don't come in with that attitude in training, you just think, oh, let's see what the boys are going to put on today, what session we're going to do, and we'll just have a little tippy-tappy five-a-side. You ain't going to beat your fittest come the weekend because you'll have just trained all that week and you'll have wasted a week's training. Then your mindset going into the big game at Anfield would have been, well, we've just had a tippy-tappy week, it's been pretty easy. You'll be 2-0 down before you know it. So our attitude was, as Julian said, you train as you play.
And do you feel both quite fortunate? You've probably played for two of the most passionate fans in the country.
Well, obviously I was at West Ham for 11 years. I was at Liverpool for like 9 months. So there's a big difference. But Liverpool, for me, is one of the biggest clubs in the world. And it was a great honour to play for them. And again, playing for the fans at West Ham is another great honour.
Mm. Nothing compare?
What to
in
to
football terms?
No, not for me. Like you said, it helps when the fans like you, but they like you for a reason. But you go out, you give 100% for that shirt, for that badge, and for their club. That's all they want. And it's when players don't do that, that's when they find it difficult.
Going back to that, I think I remember one of my first games as a sign for West Ham, and I had a coffee with Julian and Martin Allen in the Swallow Hotel, and the boy said to me, look, just give 100%. Fans will absolutely love you. Just put a tackle in. You'll get them right on your side straight away. Mark Draper nutmegged me. I got a yellow card. He done me again 15 minutes later, so I'd done him in a two-footer challenge and got sent off. Fans were booing me off. I was like, cheers, Julian. Cheers, Martin. They were absolutely loved it. Harry was like, what have I signed here? What have I signed? He's a disgrace. But I sharp learnt the boys had my back after that.
So let's talk about life under Harry. I'm sure it was an experience. Yeah, probably a lot of stories we can't broadcast today. Yeah. But what do you remember of that time?
Me and Harry didn't see eye to eye, but not in a bad reason. We didn't hate each other. I think we respected each other. I think obviously because Harry paid a lot of money for me. I think it was a record sign at the time. He wanted so much more from me. But I think when Harry got to know me and my personality on the pitch and on the training ground, it didn't really suit what Harry's beliefs of football was. And looking back, I totally respect him, what his philosophy was. But he wanted me to be the player, probably like his son, really, like Jamie, that could keep the ball and keep things ticking over, like an Ian Bishop, John Moncur, if you like, someone that's going to be really tidy on the ball. But I sort of always prided myself in, yes, trying to be that, but I was all about trying to get my front man goals and assists, and I wanted assists on my name. So when me and Harry used to have our arguments and debates in training, he was saying, well, you've got to keep the ball more, your stats are down, you know, you give the ball away, I don't know, 25% or whatever. And I'd go, yeah, but Harry, we won 1-0, and I got a goal for Tony Cotty, he scored the winner. And you go, yeah, yeah, but you keep giving the ball. And I go, yeah, yeah, but I keep getting assists and I keep getting goals. So I don't mind giving the ball away 100 times in a game. If I get a couple of assists and we win 2-0, to me, I've had a good game. So that's where our sort of differences sort of started. But loved him as an individual, as a guy away from the training ground. Absolutely got on fantastically well for him. Just a shame that our personalities didn't really gel on the training ground.
Julian, fair to say there was some real characters here. John Moncur, Ian Bishop. I mean, Martin Allen, what was it like playing with those kind of people?
So anyway, for me, it was fantastic because, yeah, they were good characters. But like I said, they would have you back in training, in games. They were there for you. You know, if you're having a bad time, listen, they'll pick you up and you get on with it. But again, I mean, just
some things like John Monker. I mean, the training ground was getting painted.
I knew you were going to tell us.
He just painted himself. He just painted himself in white paint. He had a slip on. He had his boots on, and he come running out like that. And we're all just stood there, just.
I think if your memory serves me right, I think there was a sort of training ground sort of curfew on, as in a time when you can pick your kit up. We tried to sort of get a lot of discipline. So it was a time, say, you had to be in for 9:30. The latest you could get your kit was, say, 10 o'clock. And John come in about 5 minutes past 10, and Eddie was the kit man. He goes, "You got my kit?" And Eddie went, "I can't give you it, John. It's 10:05. So John was going ballistic. John's been here for many a year. So as Julian said, I think the guys were painting. So he got the bucket of paint and just put it on his head, put his boots on and ran stark naked straight out to the training ground. There was loads of kids and all that watching, trying to get autographs. And Harry was like, "No."
You need that, don't you, in the dressing room? It's all part of the...
Yeah, I wouldn't say you need it that far, you need characters, you need people to not just G people up, because I wasn't like that. I mean, I used to sit in a bath with two cans of Coke. That was me. I didn't have to go around shouting at people because I knew there was other people to do that. Mm. But you do need characters in a dressing room, whether they're playing or not. If Martin wasn't playing or Hutch wasn't playing or I wasn't playing, you still go in there and wish the boys all the best and G them up.
That's the characters you need, but, you know, if he had his two cans of Coke, there wouldn't have been Coke inside of them, you know, when I was a player. You know, there'd have been lots of tricks going on. So I'd have been the sort of prankster. He'd be chilling in the bath trying to protect his knees. But in and around the place, you had to be so careful, because the characters we had here were just phenomenal. I mean, I'd come in the training ground before and I drove in the car and I just sort of laughed at myself straight away, because the memories I've had of all the individuals, the majority of individuals that have come through the door, have been first class.
So how pleased you, Don, to see your old teammate now back amazing. On the coaching staff?
Absolutely amazing. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Couldn't happen to a guy that's more passionate. I couldn't think of anyone out there that's more passionate about West Ham than Julian. I really couldn't. And that's not because he's my mate and because he's sitting there. I literally couldn't. If you give me a list of players, he's the man. So it's great that Slaven's back as well. I know that Slaven cares about the club. He's another good friend of mine. So between the two of them, and obviously the other coaching staff and the players more importantly, I'm desperate to see that these two players, staff.
When you arrived, though, you just overlapped it, and when you arrived, he left that.
Slaven actually lived with me for a couple of months, because Slaven was in the hotel, and we had a core of players, myself, Kenny Brown, Keith Rowland, Michael Hughes, all sort of single boys at the time. And Slav was in the Swallow Hotel, and we said to him, "Oh, you know," he couldn't speak much English, so I went, "Listen, I'm a single lad living over in Romford, living in Emerson Park, come and live with me." So Slaven moved in for a month, and we visited a few bars in Romford, shall we say, and we let our hair down. And we got on great. And then obviously I found myself playing with him at Everton as well. So we've played twice together. So great guy. Another one that's passionate, loves football, is a winner, which is more importantly when you're talking, when you're ticking the boxes about characters. That's what these two guys are, winners.
Julian, he's had obviously nothing but great things to say about you. But from the other side of it, what have you got to say about Slaven in the time you've been here with him already?
Like Hutch said, he is quite quiet. But he's obviously very intelligent football-wise. So you don't stay in the game that long being stupid. But he's got his certain style of play. He's got his style that he wants his players to adapt to. And again, as we said earlier, it will take a little bit of time. I know people, because we beat Arsenal, they think, hang a minute, we're going to be flying. Football's not like that. You're going to lose games. But listen, the gaffer will, as he said to the players, he said, "Listen, I will look after you all the time, but all I want is a shift out on that pitch." So they know where they stand with him. I mean, there's no airs and graces about him. Black is black, white is white. There's no grey areas there. So for me, listen, I've known Slav for a long, long time. And I got on really well with him. Being just needs to speak a bit louder. He's quite quiet. Sometimes when that train goes past, I can't hear him. Then I get the things wrong in training.
Getting old.
Yeah, exactly, Mark, I know that.
Julian will obviously go for the West Ham win, but what's your prediction for Saturday?
Well, I've got to be positive. Sitting here, you know, talking about West Ham, I've got to be positive. Hopefully, there's a clean sheet in there for West Ham. I probably fear not, so I'm going to probably predict a 1-1. Draw and come away with a point. I think the guys might be happy with that.
Yeah, and as we said, Julian, earlier, great way to for a couple of weeks break to go into that international.
Well, it is. It's like you said, you've got an international break, but the game before that, you want to win. Mm. And they don't come much bigger than playing Liverpool at Anfield. So, we know it's going to be a tough test for the players. But again, as I said, if the boys put a shift in, and it's not just one or two, it's every single one of them puts a shift in, we have a great chance of beating Liverpool.
That's brilliant. Don Hutchinson, G Julian Dix, we wish you and the team the best of luck Saturday at Anfield. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you all again very soon.